I want to talk for a few moments today out of Acts 2 and verse 42. So Acts 2, 42, if you want to turn to it, just one verse really, even just one part of one verse. So Acts 2, 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And I just want to spend a few moments thinking about that particular passage today. It's one that's been kind of front and center for us throughout the lockdown as we've kind of asked ourselves the question, you know, what are you saying in this time, Lord? What can we learn about who we are as a church through what has been a very challenging and testing time? So I just want to bring one thing out of that today, one kind of aspect, and talk a little bit about it in the light of kind of where we're at. And as we get ready to start sort of coming out of this time. So let me pray for us and then we'll make a start. Lord, thank you for your word. And we're just ready our hearts to just think about it for a few moments now. We say, come, Holy Spirit, lead us and minister to us. Lord, if there's a word in what I'm about to share today that's for us, Lord, I just pray that we take hold of it. So we just pause for a moment and we just say, Holy Spirit, come. Come. Amen. Amen. So Acts 2:42 says, devote yourself to fellowship. And that is what I wanted to think about today. What does it mean to devote ourselves to fellowship? Now, here is a part of our new logo. So thank you to those of you who pointed out that this is very similar to the Southwest Baptist Association logo. I have to say that as we were putting it all together, it was a very long journey to get to this point. I have to say, I didn't actually realize that it was similar. I hadn't really noticed. Shows how much attention I pay to things. But anyway, I want to tell you the story of this logo because there is a story behind it. I think probably, I don't know, I'm trying to remember when, probably 18 months ago, maybe a little more, Neil MacDonald came to me after the service and he said, Matt, I've got a word and or a picture. And it was, the picture was concentric circles and that was it. And this was just about as I was going to go into a week of retreat and writing and thinking. And so this kind of really was with me as I went into this. And I started thinking about what these concentric circles could mean. And I don't know if you remember, we were talking about it a little bit after this, and I felt that actually the Lord was talking about three kind of concentric circles, about us being an, you know, individual, but also being gathered and being scattered. And so that was the starting point for the logo, really. So we started to think about how we could kind of sort of reflect something of that in our logo as a church. I'm going to say a little bit cryptic. You need to know the story behind it. So what we've got is three circles, and they all correspond to three of these three areas. So the first is the inner circle here. And so that is about the individual. Now, Danny did this, put this together. And I was really excited because I hadn't realized this week that the colors were really significant. And I don't know if we'd sort of, well, I don't think we had planned it. It was just something that happened. So the individual, the color is gold. Do you remember we were talking a few weeks ago about God's promises? And we talked about some general promises for us as a church, some specific promises for us as a church, but then we also talked about how there's general promises for all of us. And I think this is kind of, that could be sort of relating a little bit to that individual kind of part of our life together as a church. So there's the individual response to God. Remember we talked about it, how we need to kind of, it's almost like mining, the process of mining by putting Christ first, by dying to self, by coming at Christ like a child. Sorry, I'm being waved at here. Okay. Right. Sorry. How people do this all the time on television, I really, really don't know. Hats off to them. So basically, sorry, you couldn't see me, and everyone was waving at me in the background here. So basically, you know, we were thinking about how the individual, that individual response to God is so, so important. But it's like we're mining for gold, aren't we? And there's a really kind of like a personal individual nature to that. You think about Moses in Exodus 33, had something called the Tent of Meeting. And what happened was is that he would go away from the camp. He set the tent up away from the camp. He had to leave the hustle and bustle of the people and go to this place that was separate. And there it says, he spoke to God like someone would speak to a friend. They were having a face-to-face encounter, but it involved him having to step away. And that's a really important part of this individual aspect of our relationship with God. We need to invest in that. We need to develop our relationship with him, the secret place where we just step away from the hustle and bustle, and we just focus on our relationship with him. So that's the first circle. I want to jump straight to the third circle. The blue one, because this one is about our scattered life. And I love the fact that this is blue, because it's like, you remember that picture from Ezekiel of the river of life flowing out from under the altar into the land, bringing life to wherever it flows. And I think that's a picture of what church should be. We every sort of Sunday or once we've gathered, we go out from that place. Holy Spirit within us, but flowing through us. And there's something just very beautiful and very powerful about our scattered life as a church. We go out seeking to bring and see his kingdom come wherever it is that he's called us to be, whatever front line that he has placed before us. And I love that that's blue. It's like that picture of water. And so that's the third circle. The one I want to talk about today, and I feel that God has kind of put this on my heart for us to talk about today, is this one in the middle here. And it's this. It's the gathered. So we've got individual, scattered, and gathered. And I want to talk about our gathered life today in the light of that passage that we read in Acts 2, which says we need to devote ourselves to fellowship. I love the fact that it's orange. Okay, and as I was thinking about that, I was thinking something about glory, something about his glory. There's a vibrancy to that color. And so what I want to do for a few moments is I want us to think about the glory of gathering. The glory of gathering. While I'm speaking, right, okay, what I'd like for you to do is talk about, on the live feed, could you just write in what you love and what is important and what is valuable about our gathering? All the different elements and aspects that make it glorious. Can you do that? Can you start now? I need you to do it quickly or we'll be here all day. Just start writing on what it is that makes our gathering glorious. What you love about it. What you long to see. So we're talking about... So Linda's ready to just shout out, okay? Right, okay. I haven't finished writing that. Just glory... What did we say? What was the phrase? So something really powerful, glory of the gathering or gathered glory. Okay, so we've got prayer. That's really important, isn't it? Because what What Jesus says is, where two or three are gathered in my name. There's something very powerful about when we pray together. So prayer is important. So, okay, this is really, really important. Good word, Tony. Building each other. Okay, so there's something really powerful. When we're together, we can build one another up. You know, the passage that I thought about was from that Zephaniah, passage. It says, just before the one we read earlier, Zephaniah 3 verse 9, it says, "Then I will purify the lips of all the peoples, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder, standing side by side." There's strength in numbers, I believe. So, okay, anything else? So Pete says, encouragement. Community, yep. Get my N in the right place. Strength. Praying with others. Worship together, yeah? Singing. I'm going as quick as I can. And then, well, Holy Family. Right, yeah. I'm just going to put N. Encouragement in the battle. Sorry if this isn't clear for everyone. Okay. Say again. Song. Singing together, worshipping together, totally, yeah. Right. Just maybe one more after this. City. Inter. I think that's enough. Just, if you just shout them out. Right, so that's just a few. This is the glory of the gathering, yeah? Sorry, my handwriting is so terrible, but I wanted to put it down because this is what is glorious about our coming together. And this is what we want to see and experience and know. And I thought it'd be really good to hear. Can I just... Do you want to shout them out? Linda's just going to read a few extra ones that have come through.
Right, so we've got oneness, we've got a picture of diversity, worship, all generations together praising God, oneness of praise, conversation to support and encourage and pray with, united with belief in the one true God through Jesus, sharing exciting things, support. We can reflect God's glory when we gather together powerfully, supporting one another, achieving more than we can do on our own, unity, encourage and spurring each other on, learning from one another, teaching our children about him, singing and praising him. Together we are the body of Christ. Connection, united in common goal to be the best vision of ourselves as made by God for the purpose he laid out for our lives, laughing, seeing the Holy Spirit moving across and with us and within us as we gather together, a safe place to dwell. Everyone worshipping God together as the body of Christ. God's presence, safe place, loving Jesus in worship, dance and song. Wow, all this reminds me how much I miss being with you all. Yeah, it does, Mark, you're right. And celebration.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. I'm going to go on to the middle. So thank you to everyone who's participated. I think Mark's absolutely right. You know, it reminds us how much we kind of miss being together. You know, what we have has been a blessing, hasn't it? We'd be absolutely stuffed if we didn't have this, the Zoom and all these things that have enabled us to gather and connect together over this last year. But I want to say this, we're coming out of this time. And what I believe is just as there's been a call, one of the impacts of this, as I said earlier, was about people coming into that sort of, as they've kind of lost elements of this to a degree, having to turn to Jesus, having to lean on him more than they have in the past. I think, you know, people are coming out as that verse that Callie shared. You know, I think there is a greater leaning on our beloved because we've had to, haven't we? We've had to. And it's been great to hear testimonies and stories of what God has been doing in people's lives as they've found him in the secret place. They've stepped outside the hustle and bustle and they've been, you know, connecting with him in that quiet place. And it's just wonderful to hear those stories. But we're coming out of this time. And this is what I want to say today. It's just as we come out of this time, we've got to think about how we come out of this time together. What does it mean as we've devoted ourselves to prayer? We're devoting ourselves to the apostle teaching. Look at different ways of which we can engage with the word. We're praying in new and different ways, okay? The breaking of bread, you know, the centrality of the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be thinking about and making sure that that is front and center for us as we go from this place. But we've got to come out of this place together. And we need to be thinking about what does it mean for us to devote ourselves to fellowship. Now, please, I think it's really important that I say this now. This is not all about what happens in this place on a Sunday. You know, if that is the extent, that the level of which, you know, you can, I don't know, devote yourself to the fellowship, it's going to be limited and it's going to be a struggle, isn't it? Because there's a limit to what you can do when you've got a large crowd of people gathered in one place. I love the gathering. I've missed it. I've missed the worshiping and the praise with a larger group of people. And you know, I do miss that, and I can't wait for us all to be together. But I think what the apostles were devoting themselves to, what Luke's talking about in Acts here, is different to the larger gathering. It's part of it. I think the larger gathering is about equipping us and sending us out. It's about giving us a place where we encounter the Lord together, where we hear his voice together. But if we're going to devote ourselves to fellowship, there's something more. There's got to be something more. And that is what I want us to think about today. We can journey alone, but we're not designed to. We're not supposed to. We need to devote ourselves to fellowship. And we need to think about what that means. And that could be quite sort of formally through some of the things and activities, events, the structures of the church that we need to just think through and make sure that we give people opportunity to grow in their devotion to the fellowship, you know, to fellowship, to, you know, grow together. The word is koinonia. That's the word in the New Testament that's used here. And what this word means, this word koinonia means, I'm going to find it in my notes, running ahead of myself here. It's a common sharing, a community, a communion, a joint participation, a partnership. That's what we're being encouraged to devote ourselves to. So what does it mean to sort of come out of this time together? What does it mean for us as a church to devote ourselves to fellowship? And We could spend ages unpacking what that could look like. And I have to confess, we as a team spend quite a lot of time talking about what does it mean to devote ourselves to fellowship. And we want to facilitate and encourage that as much as we possibly can. But I think what I want to say this morning is that actually it's not just about the sort of the formal things that will facilitate and encourage this sort of devotion to fellowship. There's going to be the informal things. It's the things that we just seek out and look for personally. The things that we want to see and we just set our heart to say, yeah, I want to try and see that in my life. So what I want to do just briefly is talk about some factors that you need to keep in mind as we seek to kind of develop this devotion, as we devote ourselves to fellowship, that or I say that koinonia, that common sharing, that community, that communion, joint participation, that partnership. I want to say there's some things to take in mind that you need to think about as you think about what this looks like for you. I've got four. We're going to go on a little bit today, maybe another 5 or 10 minutes, if that's okay. So I've got four that I want to talk about. The first one is pressure. Many of us will have pressures in our lives that will impact the way we can connect to the wider fellowship and we can explore what it means to devote ourselves to fellowship. We'll have work pressures, family pressures. There'll be circumstances that can impact how we can do this. And I just want to acknowledge that right at the start. Okay, the second one is about preferences. Okay, let me try and explain this one to you. My wife and I, Angela and I, are very, very different people, but we both go on retreat separately. You know, we try and go once a year. We try and just kind of enable this for each other. So when I go on retreat, I know I need to go for a good long time. So I'll go for 6 days on my own, with little or no contact with anybody. But what I know is that I have to force myself to do that. I get very nervous and I get very anxious about it because I'm stepping into something that I find quite difficult, stepping away from people and to that point where I'm on my own and it's just me and the Lord. Okay? So Angela, on the other hand, never goes for enough time. She tends to go for a little bit shorter than me. She'll go for 2 or 3 days, but she sort of comes back saying, I could have done with another 3 or 4 days. I think you'd do a month, dear, wouldn't you? You'd do a month if you could. But that's not because she doesn't want to see me and doesn't want to be with me. It's because actually that experience is energizing for her. It's energizing for me, but it's far more a discipline for me because I tend to be energized by being with people. So my preference is to be with people. Angela's preference is to be on her own, and that's where she's energized. I'm energized with people. So I want to say that as we think about what it means for us to be devoted to fellowship, I want us to acknowledge that our preferences may well come into play here. The kind of people that we are. And it's not a negative thing. It's a reflection of what somebody said there, you know, the diversity that exists within the life of the church. The third one is feelings. One of the things that God has been talking to me about, I feel, over the last 40 days, and it's been the last few weeks, he started highlighting the impact of two emotions in my life that can easily impact me and rob me of all that God has for me. The first is fear. The second is anger. Now, please don't think I'm running around angry and grumbling at every... It's not. Anger is sort of like has a broader definition. Things that irritate us, things that annoy us, that just rub us up the wrong way a little bit. Things that just go make us go, and we can find ourselves avoiding things because of those that kind of anger that can come up in us. And then fear is an interesting one. I was thinking about what to say about this morning. And I was thinking about this week would have been, I think it is online, the Southwest Baptist Association Ministers Conference. Now, every year I go off to Newquay. It used to be in a really nice hotel up in North Devon, and then we stopped going there and started going to Newquay, which is fine. Newquay's fine. But the hotel isn't as nice. But every year I go and I walk into this room with all these ministers and I just have this overwhelming sense of fear. This sense of, what if I say the wrong thing? The sense of, I don't belong here. These are the proper ministers. And I'm not, even though I've been doing this for, 20 odd years, I still feel that kind of bit of imposter syndrome there. And it takes me a bit of time. And in that moment, I've got a choice. I could run. I could say, no, I don't want to feel that fear. And I'll miss the opportunity of the blessing of being with my friends, my brothers and sisters. And I miss the opportunity of blessing them too through anything that God might have to say to me. So it's easy for those two emotions to hold us back and to get in the way of our relationship. So three things that I want to talk about there. Pressure, preferences and feelings. There's another one, I'll leave that to another time, I think, around opportunities. But I think I'll just stick with those three for the moment. And what I want to say is that regardless of these things, the pressure, the preferences and the feelings that we may have, okay, we are still called to devote ourselves to fellowship. We're still called for this to look like something for us. We're called to be a gathered community. It's part of who we are as being church. One of the things I was going to say earlier about this is the Jesus model of being church, isn't it? There's the individual. You know, Steve's going to talk about this week. Jesus' relationship with his Father. He would go away to the secret place. He would invest in his relationship with God. But then he gathered the 12 around him, didn't he? He gathered the 12 around him. He wasn't alone in this. He had his friends with him. But then we've got this one. One of the passages that I've been going back to throughout this 40 days is I think it's Matthew 10, where Jesus sends the disciples out. He sends out the followers. So that's, I think this is a brilliant Jesus model, okay? This is what the church needs to look like. It needs to have all these elements as part of it. But these things need to shape, I think we just need to be aware of them and we need to let them kind of shape what our devotion to fellowship may look like. But the call for us all is that we are devoted to fellowship. We can't let these things detach us, if you like, from God's people and stop us from being involved. So I was thinking about, you know, what might be the word to kind of counter the pressure. And I thought the word there is we make it a priority. Okay, and it'll look like what it needs to look like for you. I'm not going to tell you what that needs to look like. I can't say, well, you need to be at this, and this. It might be as simple as saying, okay, I'm just going to gather with some like-minded people once in a while to pray. You know, one thing I've loved doing actually is walking with people and talking about the gospel. That's an example of being devoted to fellowship. I'm convinced of it. And it's been lovely to walk and talk the kingdom. You know, it's just thinking about the way it will work for you, but giving it a priority in your life. So we've got priority as a sort of an answer to the pressure. What about preferences? Well, I think for some of us, this won't be for everybody, but for some of us, is that how you spell it? Persevere. We need to persevere because our natural inclination and tendency is maybe to sort of step away from, come away from putting ourselves in that place with others. And I want to really encourage you that actually, yeah, there's something important about stepping away, as we've said already, but there's also, we need to have this devotion for fellowship too. And for some of us, it's going to take a bit of perseverance to push in and to make this happen. And finally, feelings. I want to say we need to change our focus. We really do need to take our eyes off the fear. We need to recognize when that anger creeps in and starts getting in the way. It happened to me this week. I let something get in the way, and a good friend pointed this out to me in love. And actually, it was one of those moments I just thought, oh yeah, got it wrong again, you know, and it just needed that. And suddenly I have a very different take on it, because, you know, we have an enemy. We have, what's he called? The accuser. And what the accuser does is he just drops an accusation into our mind. We take hold of it. Often what he does then is he steps back and just lets us get on with it. And it gets in the way. It breaks fellowship. It causes disconnection. So we need to get our focus right. We need to get our focus right. We need to recognize the things that come and get in the way. And we need to take hold of different ways of being. We need to function and operate in the counter spirit. I've really undernard about where to go with the rest of this talk, how to wrap it up. And all I'm going to do at the end is I'm going to pray. I'm going to leave you to think about this. I can't give you what it will look like for you, but actually, I just want you to start praying about what a devotion, what being devoted to fellowship looks like for you. I want to pray that if you've got barriers to being sort of connecting in that way, that there would be a recognition of them and there would be an overcoming them of, from them. I want to pray that you would see the provision in this. People to walk with on this journey, shoulder to shoulder, as we read in that passage from Zephaniah. So let's pray together now. Lord, by your Spirit, would you speak to us today? Show us what devoting ourselves to fellowship looks like for each one of us. I want to pray that there wouldn't be any hindrances or barriers to this. For those who have taken risks in the past and been hurt or felt that it hasn't really worked, I want to pray that that wouldn't be what drives them as we go forward, as we come out of this time together. That, Lord, you would just fill us with your Holy Spirit of love and we would devote ourselves to fellowship. We declare our love for you, Lord, and if we love you, then we're going to love one another. And this is a sign and a symbol, an expression of that love. So, Lord, we pray today that as we plug into you, as we plug into the source in the secret place, as we step aside, as we kind of step outside the crowd, if you like, and focus on you, as you minister to us, Lord, and we minister to you, Lord, I pray that it would be like plugging into the source. There would be a filling afresh, and out of that, Lord, there would be this ability and an opportunity to devote ourselves to the fellowship. To fellowship. Show us what it looks like now by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.